Well, hey, hi, how are you? It's episode 3, Andy's Things and Stuff. So how is my Metallica whiskey?
It's actually not bad.
Really?
Yeah, that really is not bad. I gotta say.
It's not as good as my summer shandy, but...
Or as good as Bushmill.
So anyway, sitting with me this evening, this is... it's Thursday, the 22nd of September. My brother Joe is sitting here.
Painter Joe.
Painter Joe. Oh, yeah.
Gotta help the business, you know.
Of course. Don't... There's... I'll do the ads here, okay? the first person to go, hey, I should totally be on your podcast, so have me on so I can do it.
I'm just rooting for you.
You never once asked to be on the radio though.
Oh God, why would I want to be on that? That's like a commercial environment. It's not relaxing. We can't drink whiskey and
okay. Now I get it.
It's just this is way more a relaxing setting.
Yeah. Was it? Well, you and Becky, our sister,
we popped in, but
they came in for my 40th birthday, and I don't want to fucking talk about radio.
I know. Why would you?
I don't. Anyway.
That's why you're doing this.
So how was the Blackened?
Blackened's a little sharp.
It's Metallica's sharp. Whiskey. It's, let me look it up.
It's very caramely.
So here's the deal. After saying, hey, let me be on your podcast, I'll bring over some of my Bushmill that's like $300 a bottle.
Yeah, I don't share.
And I'm like, okay, that will be fun to like taste my Metallica whiskey that I got from Kyle. He actually sent it to me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Kyle.
Like my best friend Kyle growing up, our neighbor across the street in Beersford growing up. I looked up Blackened. Let me see here. If you don't care about whiskey, then this is really boring. But, why do alcohol sites make you type in, like, a fake birthday? Like, what 12-year-old's not going to say, yeah. Like, you know, I was born in 19... I'm going to go see how far back it'll go. I was born in 1900. Yep, I'm 122 years old, Blackened whiskey.
Oh, my gosh, it worked?
Yeah. Well, the the bottom option was 1900.
My God. What is wrong with people?
It's so stupid. It's just some
like,
dumb...
Who's in charge of that department?
I don't know. If that's a regulation, like, you have to check people's ID or at least ask them how old they are before they look at information about booze.
When it involves alcohol. Yeah, let's ask their age.
Yeah. No,
they'll tell the truth.
No one will lie. No. Yeah. Okay. So it's a black brandy that's straight whiskey finished in black brandy casks. And then they also... play Metallica music, I guess, at low frequencies, which I'm sure is just a gimmick. But
well, they do say frequencies do inhibit the alcohol and different things in it. It's
oh God, you are a dork.
There's some kind of science.
You're a giant
to that.
Freaking dork.
Well,
okay.
I don't know how far deep it goes.
Since you're actually saying it's a thing.
It's a thing.
The low frequency sound waves force the whiskey to penetrate deeper into the barrel, extracting more caramel, honey, and vanilla flavors from the wood.
Gotta love that. Did that.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. Burnt caramel, oak, and honey on the nose, blah, 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 blah. Well, this is like basically beer with lemonade, this summer shandy. Would you like a taste?
Pass.
A friend of mine, cheers
to podcast number 3.
Okay, thanks. A friend of mine calls this pledge.
Pledge.
Like
yeah.
The furniture pledge.
Oh, I know. That's exactly what I thought of the second you said it.
I don't,
and then I went, no, but like maybe it went to pledge.
His first choice of beer is like Bush Light, though. I mean.
Gross.
Right. I mean, you can make fun of me over summer shandy all you want. I love it. It's like, it's been my favorite beer since the first time I tasted it. It's so good.
You know, it's the Blackened's not bad, but compared to the Bushmill, it's like...
Okay, so this Bushmill is not $300
bottle. This one's the $70.
Okay, what makes it worth $70?
Flavor, the aromas, the sharpness of it. It doesn't burn the shit out of your throat when you're drinking it.
Okay.
This is pretty toxic.
Well, it tasted like whiskey to me. Like every other shot of whiskey I've ever had in my life, whether it was Jack Daniel's, Jim Beam, Windsor Canadian, it all tastes the same.
This Blackened is a 90 proof, and
okay,
this is 40%, so that's also like
a little less booze in it.
Small percentage, 5% less.
So
40% alcohol in the Bushmill and 45 in the Blackened.
So why do they just? So the proof is just the percent doubled, right?
Yeah.
Well, why don't they just?
It has something to do with how it's aged. I'm a relatively new whiskey guy, but the Bushmill by far has. It's just like I'm advertising for them. I don't know why, but
okay.
It's my favorite.
We'll go back to whiskey later because we'll still drink it and you're going to sample me. I'm going to try a sample later. So you're a painter.
Yeah, we know that.
So I'm a new, completely self-employed person. You've been self-employed for how long?
16 years.
Long damn time.
Long time.
And
best
somewhat
decision I ever made.
Somewhat like me, you are in a service.
Oh yeah,
you're a painter.
It's completely service.
So, why did you pick that? Like, because you weren't.
Oh, that's a great story.
It's not like you're picking. I mean, it wasn't like you were just like painting stuff for fun before you started doing it.
That's very true. The first thing I ever painted was a living room, and a long story short. Quit my job. I was a mechanic. It just kind of all ended. Tried doing another mechanic job. And then I'm like, I can't do this for people. I can't work for someone. I've had it. So go in and...
It's really funny when you're doing really well and then your boss wants to come in and shit all over everything and make it all worse.
Oh, isn't that weird?
And
that is so weird.
Why do they do that? Like,
I don't know. Things are going great. Business is good, and all of a sudden,
like,
they
take
a giant dump on you.
Because you had like stolen away a bunch of like fleet accounts, like the last place you worked.
Banging, man.
Like,
that shop was
just crushing
it.
Souls. And then
they wanted to pay someone less. Like, okay.
Oh, we could make so much more money if this guy who made us all this extra money went away.
Yeah.
And we paid someone cheaper.
Maybe he'll keep those guys that
Maybe.
He brought in. Maybe. It's like, it's almost like they didn't even think about
it,
which is hilarious. But and then the funny part is that same store manager quit like a month later.
Was it not
his writing on the wall?
Was it not his idea?
Oh, it was.
Oh.
Unfortunately for him.
Oh, okay.
But he turned out to be my best painting customer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. We joked about that a lot.
Okay, so.
But yeah, quit working on cars. Started painting in 06 and just been doing it ever since. I started painting like my living room and I'm like, damn, this is really easy. I wonder how much they get to pay someone to do this. So I start calling other painters in town, you know, to like get price checks from them.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Roughly, I got a bathroom I need painted. How much would you charge me to do it? And they're like, at that time it was so cheap. It was like $150. Same thing would probably be $350 now. But I'd call it, check on the bathrooms. Well, then I called another guy and I said, hey, every room of the house is different, you know? So I went with
right.
the kitchen, I went with the bathroom, went with the living room, did my research. And then I said, how much paint a garage? And these are all different painters, every one of them. Just gauging how much they're charging. And I was like, yeah, damn, I could do that.
Yeah.
Shit, I could learn that in no time.
So.
There was growing pains, believe me.
So what was the biggest growing pain?
Just learning what the hell I'm doing.
Well, yeah. It's like, I'm going to start doing this as a business I've never done.
Edging was hard. I remember lines in the walls. Why did that happen? Like all the little details.
I'll give you a little commercial right now. So whenever we paint our house, the interior, and we have to do the part over the foyer, we live in a split foyer house. We save that for Joe. and I'll say, "Hey, I just need you to
do the foyer.
And
change the clock while you're
do
up
the
there.
Edge. We don't have a clock there anymore."
Oh, good.
Yeah. We need you to just stop over and do the do the corners in the foyer and the edging, cuz we can't reach it. And he'll climb up on the stairs. Well, the first time you did it, you stuck the paintbrush in the end of like an extendable pole thing.
Just reach it out.
And then
that takes a lot longer though. If I can get up there.
Yeah. No, it went a lot faster when you actually figured out, oh, I could just climb up there and basically just stood on the railing. But it was rather impressive to watch you paint it with a pole that was like 8 feet long. Like that's
what the pros do.
Meanwhile, here's what you get when, okay, if you stay in a cheap hotel that's been recently renovated and you see very poorly done tape jobs and paint like in the wrong places.
Yes. It's horrible to go to places.
I'm just talking about one particular hotel in Pier that I stay at rather frequently. You can tell it was a DIY job. And like there's spots in this house I know I could have done better.
That's why I don't look around.
For sure. Oh, my kitchen will drive you crazy. but it's just like, yes.
Any detail person's going to pick that stuff out.
But it's the kind of stuff, though, that you don't notice when it's not messed up.
Nope.
Like, yeah. Okay, so you chose painting. And so before you get somebody to pay you to do it, currently
I'm gonna
suck
give away
at
the
it.
Secrets of why painters become painters. One, they're detail oriented. Usually, that's not
well. If they're good at it,
they weed themselves out. But there is a patience that you have to be able to do it, or mind shut off. Otherwise, you just go. Some people say it's therapeutic. A lot of people that paint their own stuff, they tell me it's therapeutic. But they just like peace and quiet. Everybody leaves them alone because they're painting and they're just doing a thing, probably thinking about whatever, and that it can have that. It can also make you have time to think about things you shouldn't. But but you're just sitting there working away and enjoying life.
So growing pains, like what did you screw up?
Okay, the first house I ever did,
uh-huh.
God bless those people. I put more paint on those walls. It was $1,400. Should have been done in a day by professional standards. It took me 14 days at 4 hours a day because I was doing it after I was done with work.
Oh, you're still part-time.
Yep. And it was new construction, so it was all raw drywall.
Oh, so you had time.
Yeah, I kind of. The price I gave them was dirt cheap, so they're like, yeah, whatever, you know. It looks great.
Was this like a friend who was a contractor? Or
here's the other part about doing this job self-employed. You got to have the confidence and the intestinal fortitude to have the guts to call people randomly just to get that first job. Because nobody knows you. Nobody knows
anything.
I called contractors in the phone book.
Oh.
And I found one guy. I called each one of them and I'd say, "Hey, this is Joe at the time it was called Amazing Painting." I said, "This is Joe with Amazing Painting. We're just looking for some new projects to do. Just wondering if you had anything that you would like bid on or anything like that." And nope, we're good. Yeah, actually I do. He's probably busier than hell. His other painter's busy doing other things and he needed somebody to paint his brother-in-law's house.
That's ballsy. Cause like I'm like the worst salesperson ever.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't sell water to somebody who was on fire. And I think I said that joke in the last podcast. So I use that line all the time.
Redundancy is terrible.
Hey, you know, when you work in radio, there's crutches. There's things you're going to say over and over again.
Fallback.
It's just how it is. Anyway, so.
You're not in radio.
No. Anyway. No, but I just spent the last 23 years of my life in it, though.
Your podcast.
Since 1999. And although I saw a meme. There's this Instagram account I follow that's really funny called Shitty Radio Jock. And there was a It was either that or shitty PD, which is like program director. And the it was like making fun of jocks who their only show now is a podcast. And it was just sort of it was kind of funny in that it was mocking them for, oh, it sort of had this attitude of having like, it was funny. I don't remember what the meme was. It was funny, but at the same time, it was sort of like, oh, you only have a podcast. What a scumbag you are
from.
Like, oh, you're not a real,
only,
you know,
famous people do podcasts and along.
No,
with
no, 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 no. It was being like elitist about having a radio show versus only a podcast.
Oh,
like it was crapping on doing a podcast when they're not on the air on a radio station. Sure. And it was amusing. But anyway, so
back to me.
Yeah,
we were
the baby of the family. So I got coddled.
This, yeah. Right. Who's in the radio? Who wants attention? Anyway. Gotcha.
Okay.
And so I got the first job. I go over there. I primed everything and I had my ex-wife was helping me at the time. And
you're why do you prime stuff? There's already primer in the paint, right?
Oh yeah.
There's the primers in
the
paint.
That's the best sales pitch and marketing scheme that Valspar and Home Depot has ever come up with. That is by far.
Oh, that's their fault?
Oh, that's completely their fault.
Oh.
They're the ones that put it on the radio, on the TV. Prime and paint in one. Every paint is primer. It's just you don't want to spend that kind of money on primer. Come on. You can buy the $13 primer or you can spend the $40 primer. What you going to do?
By $40 primer, you mean paint.
Paint.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So primer is the cheap way of
they
getting
get
the first
to buy
coat
it
on.
Because they only think they got to put one on.
Right. But
I just
no, they're going to
have painting an interior.
They're going to put two or three coats on to cover it. When
homeowner
it's new.
Put no shit. Put one coat of paint on. New drywall.
Did that look great?
Entire basement. I'm like, God.
How bad did that
damn
look?
Damn you, Home Depot. Like, what in the... Do you have a conscience?
But the funny... Well, I suppose then they're going to have to buy more $40 paint instead of
$15. Oh, you betcha.
Because I was like, why? They're not going to sell... Oh, wait, yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah, they're going to sell a ton of paint because they're going to need a lot more.
But don't they all do it now?
Oh, yeah.
At least in the big box stores?
Well, yeah. Commercial stores don't. Like, Sherwin.
Like, if you walk into, like, a paint store, you don't really
hopefully
see...
Hopefully, they're not pitching that.
I mean, it's, like, their product, but they're not... Are they purists?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
If somebody's painting their house, they're doing it themselves.
Honestly, I mean, paint salespeople, aside from the small... privately owned places in town, they seem to know a lot more what they're doing. Like
the paint stores?
Big commercial stores, they're going through people all the time.
What do you mean by a big commercial store?
Oh, like Sherwin-Williams or...
Okay. So you're not talking about Home Depot
PPG,
or Lowe's?
PPG, no.
Okay.
No. Box stores are volume sellers.
Okay.
Well, so is Sherwin, but they're more contractor-oriented, whereas Home Depot is more oriented towards
They're not worried about selling me paint. They're worried about selling you paint. Gotcha.
I'm their bread and butter.
But they're going to charge me more for it if I go buy it there.
Oh, you bet.
That's why I say this is for Painter Joe's Painting whenever I go there to buy paint.
Yep. Exactly.
By the way, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Sioux Falls Shooting. I have classes that you can take to get your South Dakota Enhanced Permit, or if you want to learn to shoot. As of this recording, there were still spots left in the October 8th Intro to Handgun class. If you want to like just get that first taste of shooting a pistol and you've never done it before, that class is literally made for people who have never shot a gun in their life. And I provide the ammo and the guns and everything. You just show up and have fun and learn. And that's October 8th is it in Canton or Garrettson? I think it's in Garrettson. Yeah. So SiouxFallsShooting.com. Boom. Also self-employed now.
And that's your self-employed thing. Maybe I should be interviewing you.
Okay, we'll do it.
How did you decide you wanted to do that?
Well, my radio job sucked ass. So No, you know how I actually started? It all started probably...
What was the turning point, Andy?
Well, no, not turning point. I don't want to dwell on that shit anymore. So, like, here's literally how it started. So, like, you and I grew up in the same house. Yeah. We had the same dad, who was a trap shooter and rifle shooter. Not if you look at us. No, by the way... My sons came in when Joe got here. Oh, God, this is funny. When Joe got here, my youngest, of course, who's sort of just sort of like floating around doing whatever he's doing at any given moment. And then my middle son, who's like the most responsible of my three kids, comes in the house, slams the door, locks it, comes in here and, Dad, there's a guy at the door. He's trying to get in. I said, it's probably your uncle. Does he drive a red car? I don't know. Did you look?
And then I yelled through the door.
And then I heard him yell through the door.
It's your like, Uncle Joe.
But in the dark, yeah. Like we started recording here at about 8:15. Like the sun has just gone down. You look like a scraggly homeless hippie. And so I could see him being mildly. He probably doesn't think of you with your hair pulled back.
Yeah.
In the steel wool bun.
Makes sense. I was proud of him.
Yeah, no, it was
you
good.
You know what? Good on you for training your kid.
Yeah.
To be alert to his surroundings.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Good that was, shooter awareness.
Well, that had nothing to do with it. He's just the conscientious one.
I was trying to plug you.
No, it's technique. Like, I can't pull someone's head out of their ass. That's impossible.
That's true.
Yep. So where it started, where I decided, I want to start shooting guns. Or teaching people to shoot guns was, I literally...
You were talking about we had the same dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going back further. Okay, so you and I grew up in the same house, but you were, like, way more into hunting and shooting, like, time we got to high school than I was. Like, because it was either trap shooting or baseball. Well, you chose trap shooting. I chose baseball. And... You were a state junior trap shooting champion.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah, it was a pretty dead eye with a shotty.
Yeah. So anyway, I hunted deer a couple times in high school.
Champion multiple times.
And then that was the end of it. I didn't really consider, hunting was something I did with dad. It wasn't a passion at all.
No, you didn't really seem to get too excited.
No, it was okay. And then I went about life. And then in my early 30s.
You complaining a lot when we were hunting.
Oh, yeah.
That I remember a lot.
Yeah, because I wasn't, for the most part.
You didn't go out in boots very often. And so you get blisters. And
well, I was an indoor cat. Let's be honest. I was an indoor cat.
Yeah, you were.
I was an indoor cat until I was probably about 30. Honestly. Like the outside of skiing, yep. I was completely uninterested in the outdoors. And now it's like I'm a completely different person because now the Vikings played the other night. Did they win or lose? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I really never used to.
Remember us in 97 out in Black Hills?
Oh, yeah.
And we're
sitting. No, that was 99.
Whatever.
I'm good at years. Trust me.
Anyways, Randall Cunningham. Or was it Favre?
No, that was 98. I was still in Brookings.
That's how into sports I am.
Yep. No, I still remember the stuff when I cared. Okay, so I decided I wanted to be a shooting instructor.
Jesus. It's all over the map.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because basically, so then by the time I was 30, then Thanksgiving in 2011, we were down at mom and dad's. Don't ask me why I remember years the way I do. I just do. Like, I'm a date savant. I met my wife on March 29th, 2006. That's how nerdy I am with dates. So we're down at Thanksgiving in 2011. Dad was taking all the grandkids out to the gun club to go shoot 22s. And I went with, and he also brought his Glock 17, 9mm pistol, and I shot it. And I was like, oh, this is fun. I forgot how much fun this is. And I was like on the back end of my, I wasn't really on the back end of it, but I was getting there. Like it was starting to creep into my mind that, hey, maybe softball is not going to be a thing I can do every summer.
Yeah.
You know,
I still play volleyball.
And oh, I could totally, now that I actually am off my ass and exercising, I could totally play softball. It'd be fine. I would be much slower on the bases than I was 15 years ago. But
yeah,
all three of my kids can beat me in a foot race now, by the way.
You move pretty fast for a big guy.
But all three of my kids, even my 9-year-old, beats me in a foot race.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
My kids still don't beat me.
Well, you weigh 100 pounds less than I do. So I decided I want to become a shooting instructor when I was literally... So the bug bites on Thanksgiving that day. I ended up buying that pistol from Dad for $100.
Oh, really?
Only because...
He sold it to you for $100?
I gave it back to him.
Oh, okay.
Because he knew Crystal was never going to let me buy a gun in a store for full price.
Why didn't he just give it to you?
Well, he kind of did.
True.
I mean, the sale price... Bucks, yeah. The sale price we agreed on was $300. That was still way under value. I know,
Dad does that all the time.
Yeah, it was way under value. But because Crystal did not grow up around it,
yep.
And we didn't have much extra money at the time.
Can be kind of hard sometimes.
We didn't have much extra money at the time either for me to go buy a $500 pistol. So it was just not an option. And so he sold that to me. And then I got my first AR like the next year.
Yeah, and then you went nuts.
And then
it's like, oh, I could.
And then it went, and then I was really got dorky. And then it was probably around that time when I was starting to get really dorky, like where I was drooling over M1As and I was reading, like, you know, we're a little short on money. And I'm like, I was building websites for people, but I hated it. And I wasn't making much on it.
You were doing that.
You still have your website with me.
What's going to happen when that,
Well, the podcast's on the same server, dude, so you're fine.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I call him once a year to make him, hey, you got to... Oh, actually, you paid for 2 years last time when your domain's up for renewal.
Yep.
I'll be like, hey, you got to renew your domain. Give me your credit card. Jeez. So I'm literally...
Can't we make this permanent somehow?
So I decided I wanted to be a firearms instructor.
Is there much left of that shandy? Oh, it's gone.
Yeah, and that was number two. So
zinging.
I got a third and we got whiskey. I decided I wanted to do that because I was literally looking at, like, I was seriously crossing my mind, like, do I want to go back to school while still working? And like getting a law degree actually crossed my mind. It still occasionally crosses my mind. I think I would enjoy it.
God, you couldn't go through the schooling.
That's the thing.
No way.
The professors would irritate me.
How old are you, sir?
Oh, you think I'd be the first? Well, at the time, though, I was in my mid to late 30s.
At 45?
I would not be. I just met a woman who is older than me and is just finishing up law school.
Hey, you know what? I shouldn't trample your dreams.
Well, it's not my dream. I don't
want
to.
Go for it. Do
it. No. I don't want to. It's not my dream. You can relax on that. But no, I was like, okay, what's a decent paying part-time job, like small business part-time gig?
Yeah.
And like, one of the things that came up was like,
that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. So, one of the things that came up was wedding DJ. I'm like, fuck that. No, I'm not doing it. No, I've been there, done that. I've gone to enough weddings and DJed those. I'm like, no, not doing that. I don't want to.
Put your right hand out. Now put your left hand out. This is the only time you're ever going to have the upper hand.
Yeah. No, and now they've gotten so fancy.
Oh, I bet.
Weddings
are insane.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But anyway, one of the things I came across in Googling that, it's only taking me 10 minutes to get to this. One of the things was firearms instructor. Because it's literally a service.
Yep.
Now, I will say this about shooting instructors in general. Any idiot with $300 and a free Saturday and Sunday can go get an NRA instructor certification. I mean, it's...
However, the market dictates how they do.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, it's still like, oh, you've got an accreditation.
Yeah.
Like, I actually had... Only once has anyone ever asked to see any of my certificates.
No kidding.
I'm like, I don't have them. But you can look them up. You know, I can show you a PDF of my NRA cert, and you can go to the Secretary of State's website and find my name on that list. So, whatever.
Yeah, I'm supposed to advertise my tax license, and nobody ever asks to see it.
No, but you don't have a storefront. That's different.
That's true.
I mean, if you have a storefront, it's supposed to be on display somewhere. Yep. But
commercial jobs, you have to.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I have a sales tax license too. I just had to pay mine.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. Do you do yours monthly or quarterly?
Monthly.
Yeah, because otherwise it's too big a check.
Well, I mean.
Well, your checks are probably way bigger than mine.
You got to
be
a responsible business runner there, buddy.
Yeah.
And you take that money out the second you get it and put it into a separate account.
Jeez. What are you saying? Sometimes people pay you cash? What are you talking about? Okay.
Nobody ever does that to me.
So anyway, that's how it started. But here's the problem, though. I didn't really know what I was doing. Just like you when you were painting.
Yeah.
You know.
Completely oblivious.
But that was, like, when I read this on some random website about what's the, you know, private, you know, small business part-time job thing. It was just a thing. And I'm like, well, I like shooting. I don't really know what I'm doing, but that's a thought. But I didn't really think about it then again until South Dakota started the enhanced pistol permit program where you could, if you got that permit, it was good in Minnesota and Nebraska, which the regular permits are not.
Thank you, Obama.
And so that had nothing to do with Obama, by the way. Absolutely nothing.
It seems like everybody just started to explode with guns when Obama became president.
And thanks to COVID and the election year,
yeah,
I am now spending $85 to $90 for a brick of primers when I used to spend $30.
There are its drawbacks.
Anyway, yeah. So when that pistol permit program started, I had taken a permit class for Utah because Utah was recognized by Minnesota. But then literally while my packet's on the way to Utah for my permit,
you had to go to Utah to do that?
No, I took a class in South Dakota.
Gotcha.
Because Utah would issue out-of-state permits, non-resident permits. So my packet's on its way to Utah when Minnesota announces that they're no longer recognizing the Utah permit. So I took a class. I wrote a check for $75. I had to pay to get fingerprints taken at the sheriff's office. Had to pay for a photo to get taken down at Walgreens. And so then there was
a do-over.
Yeah.
Get a do-over.
But when I took that class, I was like, I can do this better than you.
Yep.
Like,
and that's the thing about a service is you have to be able to know that you can offer that better.
Right.
In order to make it.
Like, I didn't know what I was doing yet, but as far as like teaching the class, and it was not long after that, the enhanced permit program was announced. And then I'm like, oh boy, how do I get that? And then I go on the Secretary of State's website and find, okay, I got to take this class and then this class. And this was like the fall of 2015. And then February 29th. Of 2016. 29th of 2016. It was a leap year. I took the NRA certification class. And then that May, I took the enhanced permit. And so that's all I was doing at first. That's all I was doing at first. Because it was sort of a gateway. Because, I kind of knew how to shoot a pistol. I had been shooting some 3-gun in USPSA.
I shot better than you at that time.
Not with a pistol, with everything else,
at that
yes.
Time, maybe.
And so, but like, I kind of knew how to show people stuff on a pistol, like to at least like grip it right for the most part. Yeah. Like, I didn't have a lot of technical knowledge yet. But
there's so much more to it than just.
Oh, yeah.
It's unreal, really.
Especially a pistol.
Yes.
It's
handling it, breaking it down.
Just shooting it without yanking it low left, you know, is the big thing.
You do any slow motion video of anybody that's never shot a pistol before, the barrel's pointing down before the gun goes
before it goes off. But it happens in a microsecond.
Oh yeah,
before it goes off. But
yeah,
it's but no, those were the things I learned because when I along the way I really wanted to shoot 3-gun because there was this show on TV called 3-Gun Nation that was on like Sportsman's Channel. And was on NBC Sports before that.
You had a video Woody over watching all that stuff. You're just so into it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
you're driving. Driving force.
But the thing was, I didn't care about shooting a pistol at the time. It was the rifle that I wanted to shoot.
Sure.
You know, because that was kind of the, I don't know, that was the cool thing I thought. And then it turned out, oh, wow, I really suck at shooting a pistol. So then I started shooting more USPSA, which is the United States Practical Shooting Association. And it's primarily pistol. You can't shoot 9mm rifles in that sport. But anyway, so then I started doing that. And then wanting to get better at that sport is what is how I learned pistol shooting. Like, my main background, obviously, is competition. So, yeah. So that was... And then when, you know, my previous employment started to really suck ass, it's like, well, I've been doing this basically 2 days a month and making okay money at it. And so I was like, well, if I just do more...
Yep.
You know, doing the math, it's like... I can, no, this, I can make a living doing this. So
the biggest upsides to self-employment for me is the flexibility.
Hold the mic closer to your mouth.
My bad.
Thank you.
The flexibility.
Yeah.
The, gosh, the cringiness of having to go to a regular job and deal with people that there's a lot of people there you love to be around.
Yeah.
But then there's the three or four that you just...
Or sometimes one.
You're like...
There's just one person you cannot stand to be anywhere near.
They turn a corner when you turn a corner and you're like, oh, shit. That's your first natural instinct is just go, oh, shit. What did I do wrong? What are they going to talk to me about?
When I was working at the radio station, the hallways were literally the length of the building upstairs.
I know. You could not
hide. You couldn't avoid. It was like, it was the most awkward, like, I'm looking at the floor, I'm looking at the watch. The
boss man could stand at the end and just wait for someone to come out, just knowing. And you know they got egos like that. They're going to stand there and just wait for somebody to go, oh, shit. They get that little, little cringiness.
If they have no, but like, no, the thing... For me, working for someone else, like working in the corporate world or free work for somebody. And by the way, I'm not knocking anybody who has a job. My wife has a job, you know, working for a
Absolutely
big company.
Not. It's not for everybody.
Well, it's not for everybody, but also like it's not becoming self-employed is not. I wouldn't say it's hard. But it's not easy.
No.
You know, it's not something you just like up in one day, you know what? I'm going to work for myself.
I'm just going to go do this.
Yeah. Now, maybe there's some people who've gotten lucky and done that. But like for me, it was a slow burn over 6 years.
Yeah. For you, it was.
You know,
mine's a do or die. It was almost life and death. Because if I didn't become self-employed, I was going to be suffering looking for a job. I was already working a job that wasn't paying me near enough to take care of at the time. I got married and I had two kids instantly. Mm-hmm. And then we had a couple.
Well, you had one and she had one.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And then we added and added and added.
And added.
And added. And added.
My brother has 14 kids, by the way.
No. No, six.
Okay.
Six, but whatever.
But you said the word cringy earlier. That just made some woman's uterus listening just shrivel up. Like, six?
Six? Is he out of his mind? A lot of love to go around.
But others are like, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. There's people.
I want to make another baby.
Yeah, they have six.
Did you say sex or six?
Six.
Because that's how you get six.
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
So I decided I want to become a firearms instructor.
Hobbies, you know?
No, I'm kidding. Okay. So being self-employed is, it's cool. There's some stress level involved though, for sure.
Yes.
No doubt.
Because there's slow times, you know.
You know, there are for a period of time.
Especially.
That eventually goes away.
Your business is a little more...
seasonal.
Well, I guess yours is seasonal.
Very seasonal.
Very seasonal. Yeah, because I mean, you predominantly do exterior work, right?
All summer long.
And
as soon as it's above freezing consistently, I'm working outside. And then the second it's below freezing consistently, I'm working inside. Did I say inside twice?
No, I don't think so.
I was outside.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
even if it's not what you said, I'm guessing most people figured out what you meant as well.
But yes, it is very seasonal, and that was really hard to get through.
So the first few winters,
it was rough.
Yeah, like
you're just hoping and praying that you can get an interior job.
And like
all my business was word of mouth. I really struggled hard at the beginning because I didn't advertise, had kids to take care of. I didn't have extra money to advertise, so it was just constantly being fed by the paint store.
Well, and
referrals, and they were not great jobs, by the way. They were not easy jobs.
Well, and also, you know, 2006, 2007, like social media wasn't a thing really.
No.
I mean, MySpace was there and Facebook was kind of there and that was about it.
Yeah, I can't even, like 2010 is when I got into Facebook. I started painting in 06.
You didn't have a Facebook until 2010?
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, I was one of those, jeez, boomer. Facebook. I was an old soul at the time.
So you never had a MySpace?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, you missed out on having your profile song.
Seriously?
You could have had a profile song, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because, like, I'll never forget Crystal's profile song when I met her was Shine Down, I Dare You.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then
man.
Shortly after
I've
that.
I've never even heard of such a thing.
And then it was.
You are a year older than me.
MySpace. So. Yes, I'm the boomer. He's the Gen
You're
Xer.
The boomer.
Yeah. No, and then it was Bubbly by Colby Calais. Can you count me in?
I don't even know what that is.
You don't? Oh, no. Okay.
I was listening to oldies and 70s rock at the time.
Yeah, my son was playing Metallica's Whiplash for Joe when he got here on his electric guitar.
I don't even know that song.
And yeah, no.
No clue.
It's what they opened with in Vegas when Crystal and I went.
Is that a recent album?
No, that was from their first album, from Kill 'Em All.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, I know Kill 'Em All, but I don't remember that.
Dun, 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 dun. Whiplash.
No, I don't remember that at all.
No, you wouldn't know that. Jeez. No, you totally wouldn't know
Enter
that.
Enter Sandman.
I never even owned that album. Like, Isaiah owned that album before I did.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's into that stuff.
Oh, well, he's into it right now. Okay, so whiskey.
Whiskey, yeah, we never finish any subjects because we talk.
Well, no, I think we kind of went through the self-employment thing. Like,
yeah.
I would just say, like, for someone who wants to become self-employed, like, just know it's not easy. Like, you're going to struggle and toil. You have to be willing to struggle.
Yep.
You have to be willing to fail. And I actually tried a different, I tried a little video production, like, for a wedding. Like for weddings, I even bought like a booth at a wedding show for like wedding websites and videos.
That's ballsy.
And well, it wasn't that expensive. It was like 300 or 500 bucks. I mean, it wasn't nothing, but it was
at that time.
Okay. This is right after Crystal and I got married. We had a lot of extra money laying around.
Well, yeah, but
because all of a sudden we had like truly shared income. So like
300 to 500 bucks back in
07.
Yeah. That was quite
it's
a
like
bit.
Like 07, 08.
Triple that now.
Well, it wasn't. Okay. Anyway, what I'm saying is it wasn't $3,000 to have a booth at the show. You know, it was 300 bucks. It was like,
Good point.
It was an amount of money I could scrape up, you know?
Yes.
And so anyway, I tried that and like literally zero clients out of that.
Oh my God.
None.
That's the most demoralizing.
Yeah. Thing. No one gave a shit. It was like, okay, well, I'm definitely not doing this. So
there's the driving force of people that they go into being self-employed, but then they hit that first wall and it's just like, boom, they quit.
But part of it was though, it was just like a thing I thought I could sell that was sort of related to something I knew how to do. I didn't really care about it at all.
Sure.
I mean, if I was being honest with myself, I really didn't care. It was basically like I did a clever video for our wedding. And so I was trying to sell videos based on my clever video.
Yeah.
And which I don't even know if I have a copy of that anymore.
Who cares?
The video, me and Crystal's wedding video. Oh,
that. Jeez, I thought
that was actually pretty cool.
I wasn't paying attention.
I did South Park animation.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. I told you. I had like the, yeah, it was totally the greatest wedding video ever.
Yep.
That, nope,
that
you
was
know
the
what?
Moment that I thought my older brother was actually talented.
I, you know what? I think it was on my web server that this podcast is on. And I think I just deleted the damn thing.
Oh no.
That's the only copy I knew of for sure that existed. And it just dawned on me, like I deleted damn. A bunch of old websites that I had had on there.
Does Crystal know that?
I don't know. It's gotta be around here somewhere though. Whew. I have to have it somewhere. It's gotta be on a hard drive or something somewhere.
Oh man.
But because it was before.
Find it.
I mean, YouTube existed, but I never put it up there that I know of.
Gosh, you should have.
Oh, I know. Okay, so Bushmill Whiskey.
Yes.
Why?
Top notch.
So I went out, my brother and I here went to, well, after I became self-employed, you wanted to like go out for supper one night.
Yep.
And we went to, where did we go?
McNally's.
McNally's, yes. And then like a couple weeks later, mom wanted to take us out for lunch while she was up here getting the car serviced or something.
Yeah.
And you were like, hey, let's go to McNally's. And mom's like, no.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I know. It's probably the bread.
Now.
Probably the chips aren't.
They wouldn't give me butter with my bread.
Yeah. Oh, you got some balls, boy.
Oh. Sorry, mom.
Yeah.
We love you.
We do.
But anyway.
Best mom ever.
Hey. Because you know, in mom's family, you know what bread is for.
Fill you up.
No. It's for pushing your food onto the fork.
Oh.
In the Larson family, that's what
really?
The bread's there for.
I was not aware of this process.
I heard dad say it one time. I laughed my ass off. Like every meal...
Crazy
ever
Norwegians
ever at Grandma Larson's, there was always like a pile of bread.
There
or
was
buns.
There was a stack in the middle of the,
yeah,
the half stack of,
and I remember,
or half
and,
loaf of bread.
And when Dad said that, I remember Grandpa shoving food onto his fork. And our entire lives, Mom shoveling food onto her fork with her bread.
I just remember Mom always saying, "You just gotta, well, it helps fill you up."
Yeah, there's, you know? That. Yeah, it's also
so you can get by cheaper.
Oh, it's so much sugar though. As Tosh would have said.
It's carbohydrates.
Carbs. Carbs are so bad. That's why Joe drinks whiskey, because there's no carbs in whiskey.
Well, among other things, gives me the worst heartburn to drink beer.
Which is such a shame.
And a headache. Instantaneously.
Oh, I believe that.
It's after the first beer, I will have heartburn and a headache. It's a yeast or...
Yeah.
It's gluten or whatever the hell it is. Who knows? But whiskey does not do that. To me.
I'm sure it's gluten. It's got to be gluten.
I think it's yeast, honestly.
Was there actually...
If I eat too much...
Is yeast just used in the process of making beer? It's not actually in it.
No, yeast can feed bacteria, too.
Well, that's how beer's made.
Exactly. Everybody has different gut biome.
Yeah.
So if you can handle beer and I can't, you have a different makeup than I do.
So man up and eat some Activia. Come on.
Blech.
Activia. Apparently, that only made your gut better if you had a vagina.
Oh, really?
Remember those commercials back in the day with Jamie Lee Curtis?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Activia.
Yeah.
They actually, there was a lawsuit or something. They had to like
pull that.
They had to pull all that because they were like making clay. It was just like, I remember going to the doctor one time and I was on a really heavy antibiotic for something. Like I had a nasty infection.
Yeah, that kills everything in your
and
gut.
It kills everything. And the doctor said, just eat some yogurt like once a day with this. Because it's just, this antibiotic's really strong, so just eat some yogurt. I'm not a medical doctor. This
a little
is just,
extra bacteria.
This is what my doctor told me to do for the medicine I was on at the time. And he's like, I don't care if it's Yoplait or Go-Gurt, any yogurt, just anything. Just eat some yogurt every day while you're taking this
Jeez.
Antibiotic. And I was like, oh, I never, because I'd heard of probiotic and antibiotic, like I never... thought about the circle of those two things being sort of opposites or whatever. So
I wouldn't have.
Yeah. Okay. So whiskey doesn't give you a hangover.
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to taste test my blackened, which I've only had a couple of times.
Okay.
As you
can
tell.
Let's do the not as good first.
Okay.
Okay. Take a sniff out of the glass.
Okay. Now what am I sniffing for?
Flavors, different things that perk your interest? You know, does it smell like berry or does it smell like vanilla? Does it smell like...
Does it feel like I'm swallowing gasoline as I'm drinking it?
No. No. Well, I mean...
That's the thing I've always had a hard time getting over. Is that
find the other stuff in it?
Okay, I'll try and find that.
Try to find the other stuff.
So this is blackened.
Now smell it.
Okay.
Okay. Now pick up what you. What did you get out of that?
Rubbing alcohol.
Okay, that's because you're familiar with rubbing alcohol. Uh-huh. Think about the. Do you smell vanilla in there? Remember what vanilla smells like? Real vanilla.
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Caramely.
I'm getting no caramel.
Yep. I didn't either from that. Any kind of fruits?
No.
Because it's from a brandy cask, which
brandy is that?
Is brandy wine.
Is that made from apples or cherries or what is brandy made
from? It's fruits of some kind. I can't remember what. It's not exactly.
Too bad I don't have a Google machine in front of me.
Yeah, you should probably.
I can't though because I've.
Oh,
okay. Got a microphone and a whiskey glass.
Hey, I can run the Google.
You got a phone. Okay. So I'm going to, okay. I sniffed the rubbing alcohol. Now I'm going to sip the rubbing alcohol.
Jackass. What do you think? What do you pick up out of that?
Okay. When I actually swirled around my mouth a little bit, yes, it still set my tongue on fire. Yeah, like I was
it
expecting.
Has the tingle. It's going to have, there's alcohol in it.
Not in a million years did I think I was going to say, okay, now I get it.
Oh.
Now I get it. I taste other stuff.
Yeah.
Totally.
You got to look for it.
I didn't even have to look for it. Like the vanilla is popping me right in the tongue.
Yep.
That I'm picking up right away.
Most people don't know that real vanilla is actually
it's
full of
alcoholic.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has alcohol.
That's what Crystal makes ice cream with.
Yeah.
Like the real stuff, not that the crappy vanilla extract cheap crap. It's like stuff from Mexico.
Costco actually carries legit pure vanilla.
I always was just like,
so I'm going to take a quick sniff.
I the sniffing doesn't do anything for me.
That is sweet. It does have some.
You know what was sweet? The corn squeezins dad got from his friend in Opelousas.
Down in Louisiana. Jesus, criminy. That stuff would. I mean, that's the stuff that like flame blowers use to.
That was moonshine. It was legit moonshine.
That stuff.
That was shipped in the U.S. mail to
Holy
dad
Moses.
For Christmas.
And I was like 17 sniffing that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my. God.
Yeah, it was this random guy he met on an elk hunting trip in Colorado when he went out there by himself.
Yep.
And met him at the campground he was staying at.
You do realize that moonshine is
whiskey.
It's whiskey.
Yeah, it's just not aged.
It's never been put into a barrel.
Right. Because like when we were in...
dripped into a vat.
Because when we went to Tennessee for the NASCAR race for our 10th anniversary... they had, I'd never heard of it before. It was Old Smoky Moonshine. It's made in Tennessee.
Yep.
It's like a commercial, liquor that's like, it's moonshine-ish, you know. And it was very reminiscent of that stuff that dad had sent to him. It was like, it just had kind of a sweet corn syrupy flavor.
Yeah.
It's like made with corn and it sure, like you can tell it's made with corn.
That's the stuff they're making ethanol with.
And this is okay. Now it's kind of interesting. Like,
and they're all different. Like, so many of them have so many different things. The reason it's brown is because from the tannins,
mm-hmm.
they char the inside of the barrels. And so, as it gets hot and cold, it gets absorbed and pushed back out.
That is interesting.
It is. And the science behind whiskey is just cool too.
Okay, now give me your spendy shit.
I like to know.
Or
things.
You're not quite so spendy shit, I should say.
Yeah, this isn't the high end stuff. I'm not real big on sharing the 21 year.
Okay, because that's
so
like,
mad. I'm not sharing.
It's like 300. No, I know you just forgot.
I did.
You were.
I totally
he literally texted me the other day and was like, "I'll bring my 25 year single
21,
whatever." And I And I said, how much is that a bottle? And I was expecting it to be like $175. And he replies, $300. And I'm like, Jesus, what? $300 for one bottle of booze?
Yeah, but you know what? You spend $500 on a gun.
Yeah, you know what?
And you
2 years later, I still got that gun.
Yeah, good for you. That's your hobby.
I don't like.
At least I get to enjoy mine to the full experience. I get to consume it.
Well, and you can.
I like to cook.
Enjoy too, yours so. Just about any time. I literally have to go to a controlled place before I can.
Nothing's more fun than creating something or getting something that you can consume and enjoy it.
Yeah, like venison stew that I had for supper tonight.
Yes, that your wife made.
I made it. She wanted nothing to do with it. No, she had nothing to do with it. She has not cooked one. The only venison she's cooked is burger for like tacos and.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You cook the wild game, huh?
Me and Asai are the only ones who eat any of it, so. Other than the burger. Although Crystal, like, I've got an antelope tag, though, and Crystal did like antelope.
Really?
Yes. Because you know how antelope is like, oh, it's so sagey. Oh, it's gamey and gross. It's gamey. No, anybody listening who's ever heard this about antelope, here's why it tastes like crap. Because whoever shot the thing drove around on a warm October afternoon in the sun and let the carcass rot in the back of the truck all day.
It doesn't take long because it's already way above room temperature.
Thinking that it was like when he shoots his deer in November and it's 20 degrees outside.
Yep.
And yeah, you can get away with it then. You can't.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
With an antelope in early October. Because I was amazed at how good it was. It doesn't have that strong flavor like venison, like deer. Like whitetail deer has a pretty strong flavor.
I always shot the smallest one, so mine's always tasted really good.
Well, they'll taste the same. It's just how tender they are.
That like too, but
that, gosh. Like that big bastard on the wall there.
Yeah, that's a pretty good
one. He was tough. He was chewy.
Yep.
Even the back straps were chewy on that guy.
I can't even imagine.
He was.
Jeez. cut it fresh off the hide and it's like beef jerky.
It was hard to even get the hide off of that deer. Like it took me and dad. Like I've butchered a doe all by myself. Like packed, like got the grind meat off and packed up like what I'm going to put in the freezer.
Yep.
Like I've done it in like 3 hours, you know. From just hanging to done. It took me and him combined like 6.5-7 hours to butcher that thing in the parking lot of the Quality Inn and Pier.
The parking lot?
Yeah.
Jeez. How much more redneck does this explain you?
Hey, we were courteous to the normies who
Quality Inn?
To the ones who don't want to see how
it was the quality
their meat is made. There's like a steep hill behind the hotel and there's like a concrete wall.
I know the hotel.
Okay. So like we had the bed of the truck towards the wall and then we used the truck as like part of the butchering station and what?
I don't know. That's just funny. That's really funny.
No, it was a good night. Okay, so Bushmills, how old is this?
This is a 12-year.
12-year single malt Irish whiskey.
Yep. It's Irish whiskey, which is different than Kentucky.
Okay. Yeah, because it has an E in the name.
Well, sure.
No, isn't that part of the thing? Like, if there's an E in it, that's different than if it doesn't have an E in whiskey.
God, like, whiskey I haven't gone that deep.
I remember reading that somewhere. Like, there's a difference.
I don't know that trick.
Okay.
I'm just really good
now,
at tasting it.
I have to sniff it first.
Got to give
before
it
before I taste it. That's
now,
always a
now,
good policy.
What I would like is for you to go back to the blackened.
Okay.
Just do that real quick.
Okay. I kind of already
because we're doing comparisons here. Get a little sniff.
You know what? After tasting it, now I smell like vanilla like a mother.
Yeah.
Coming out of that and some other stuff.
Yeah, there's other things in there. I'm trying to figure out what those are. Yeah.
Okay, weird. Okay.
It's sweet, though. It's got a sweet smell to it. But he did say it was made
this, in cask. Okay, this automatically is not strong at all. Like, no. The smell is not remotely strong.
No, it's actually pleasant. It's a pretty aromatic.
I mean, the lack of strength, I don't know if it's my allergies or whatnot.
Yeah, this isn't going to burn your nose
but
when
like,
you sniff it. In the 21-year, tames down even, but still contains the same level of alcohol. So that's the beauty of it. Feel that on the sides of your tongue?
Not nearly as burny.
No.
It is definitely smoother.
That's only 12 year, you know?
So I but.
But. It's still
hot. No. This has more flavor. The blackened has more flavor. It does. I'm telling you.
I disagree.
I can't detect anything of, I don't know. I'd have to be told what's in there.
God, it's so
weird. I don't know what you're.
Caramel.
See, I don't get caramel. I put caramel, Hershey's caramel on my ice cream, and I know what freaking caramel tastes like.
Another way to, no, that's why they call them notes. It's like a coffee that's.
Well, yeah. Floral notes.
Blueberries and.
Or like an IPA that has notes of donkey piss. God, it's so.
That is
IPA. Isn't that the worst shit you've ever had? Have you ever had an IPA?
Hey.
It's like urine in a glass.
What
it's
kind of
terrible.
Beers do you drink? Kind of into the IPAs.
Oh, God.
I'm like, oh, my God.
That's like somebody who had COVID and they never got their sense of taste back. That's who drinks that shit. I don't get it. Like,
it's almost like I'm way cooler because I'm drinking the darkest crap ever made.
This looks like something that comes off a gland and I'm drinking it.
Guinness. Nah.
This is from an animal.
We're going to drink the IPAs.
But I get all the other beers, like craft beers. Like you don't drink beer.
I don't drink beer.
But like Lion's Paw, the Fernsen beer.
Yeah.
That's great beer. I like it.
I actually had one of their beers that was a bourbon beer. That wasn't bad.
But
still screwed my gut up. But
the it was a little more sour than is my normal, but like it still wasn't bad. Like I like it. Blue Moon is really good. That's not a.
I had never had anything against the taste of beer. It's just what it did to me.
Right. No, I get that, but like
I was a Budweiser guy back in when we were in college.
Even after going like being addicted to summer shandy the way I am, like every year there comes a point where I have to like go to something else.
Yep.
And occasionally, just because it's like, man, I'm going through a lot of beer here. Maybe it's time for some Coors Light for a while just to cheapen it up a little bit so I'm not spending quite so much money on beer.
Is that more expensive?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's like between 15 and 17 bucks a 12-pack. Whereas like Coors Light's going to be like, you know, 10, 11, something like that.
Oh, so we're not talking huge.
Not huge, but I mean it's.
This is like double the price of the Blackened.
Yeah, and I like the Blackened better.
Because you don't know
to
better.
Begin whipping dance of the
you
dead.
You don't know better.
What were you singing? I was singing Blackened.
I was making it up as I go.
Oh, to begin whipping dance.
You
of the
You
started
singing rock, so I just
Blackened
threw something.
Is the end. I have no idea what that means.
I've had too much Bushmill already.
Do you even like hear lyrics in songs?
No, I listen to music.
Yeah, like
I gave up comprehending what they're saying.
No, I never did.
When I was a kid.
Unless it was like a country song and it just punches you in the face with
oh,
it.
Oh, gosh.
Then it's like
you can't not
by
sing
the way,
along to a country
okay,
song.
Okay, do you know the song by Tim McGraw called Don't Take the Girl?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Okay. Did you know that is about a homeless girl at the lake?
Seriously?
No, it's not, but that's what Tosh thought it was about.
What?
Yes. She thought it was about... She.
What? How do you make that? Gosh. Really?
Yeah. No.
Did she not read the lyrics on Spotify
what? No. Like, I mean, the song came out in like 1993 or 4 or something like that. Like, that was Tim McGraw's first album, I think. And,
Oh, that's great. About a homeless guy?
Well, don't take the girl. She didn't catch that it was about... Little girl running through the front gate with a fishing pole. She thought she was already at the lake with the fishing pole.
She's a deep thinker,
man. Oh, yeah. She overthinks everything. But,
wow.
Like, she thought she didn't catch on that it was the neighbor girl who wanted to come with when they were going fishing.
Yeah.
And I was like, you thought it was the homeless girl at the
Are
state
you
park?
Serious?
Like,
gosh, seriously? I get tears in my eyes when something's really funny, and I'm almost bawling here. Jeez, that's the best. That's oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart.
Because you know what bless your heart means. You know what bless your heart
I don't
said
know,
like that is.
Old people said.
No. It means you're a freaking idiot.
Oh, it
but
does?
It's like the way it's the way Southern people pleasantly say you're a moron.
Do they really?
Yes.
Oh. Sorry, Taj. I'm not saying you're a moron.
In that moment. Oh.
Oh, gosh. That was funny.
Yeah. Don't take the girl. No, I was listening to, I was watching this video of, it was like a guy who called himself hip hop something or other, and he was like reacting to Metallica. Like first time listening to Metallica, you know, all these reaction videos on YouTube. And the guy was he's listening to it and he's kind of bobbing along and like gets done with the first verse before the chorus even hits. He's like, well, clearly that song's about drug addiction. And I'm like, it is? I had no idea.
The things that people tell me about songs, it's like, oh, I love that song. Weird.
I mean, some songs, I know what they're about, but like other things, like when I really got into music was when Nirvana was at their peak. And if there was ever a band that was just like gibberish poetry set to music, like the vocal is just another instrument. It wasn't really.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I mean, I didn't get anything out of it. Like, this is why I switched majors.
If it sounds good, I listen to it. Words, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they could literally be farting in tune in the microphone, and I wouldn't.
If it sounded good, I'll
listen to it. Yeah, if it sounded good, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
And yeah, so
I get looks at the stuff I listen to. It's like.
What do you listen to?
All kinds. If it sounds good. Wyatt, he just gave me.
Who's Wyatt? You can't bring up a name and not explain who it is.
Well, Wyatt's he's Wyatt.
A friend of yours named Wyatt.
Yeah.
He's
one of my best
friends.
He's
a very tall heavy metal guitarist.
It's my ex-wife's little brother. But yeah, he's Riff Lord, plug, shameless plug for them. Yeah, he's a good dude. But he knows like every lyric to a song.
I know the lyrics of the songs. I just haven't ever like.
Don't you listen to music sometimes?
I've never cognitively thought about what the words mean.
I can't understand what they're saying. Like I have no like. Listen to Eddie Vedder. I mean, nobody can understand.
Oh, nobody knows what he's saying.
But like, we were just talking this morning about something, and I was it was a Metallica song. Oh, I'm on the spot here. I can't even think of it. But I was telling him, I'm like, dude, you know what I thought they were saying the whole time was this. And he goes, he's just baffled because like it was completely, he knew what it was saying. He can understand the garble and like this, all the weird.
Like he understood it or he just read the lyrics one time and he just knows what it is. Because once you know what it is, it's not gibberish anymore.
We're sitting there listening to music and I'm like, what did he just say? And he tells me. And I look it up. Shit, he was right.
But he's like a music dork and you're not.
Yeah. Oh, he's total music geek. Total. He's a front man for Riff Lord.
Oh, Riff Lord's the name of the band?
Yeah, Riff Lord.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so the whiskey, you don't drink the whiskey fast.
No.
It's a slow thing. Sip. That was the other thing when I'm like, $300. Well, when you and I started
takes
to tell
a
that story.
A long time to get through that $300 bottle.
When I mentioned mom and the butter, I was getting to you and me going out for supper and we went to McNally's and you got like a $35 shot of whiskey.
It wasn't 35. That was three of them.
Huh?
McNally's is actually great on their whiskey prices.
Okay.
Their top-notch stuff was like, I think $13 for a single. And maybe I did get a double.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I could have swore it was like $35.
Well, it could have been if I got the 20. Yeah, I might have gotten the 21-year.
Yeah, double. You got a spendy one that night.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was like $30 really for that little tiny amount of fluid
like
in the glass.
Whiskey.
but
especially Bushmill.
Okay. Well, we've been doing this for an hour and 9 minutes.
Have
so
we
far.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Time flies.
It goes by quick. Who was the bigger asshole when we were kids?
You. No doubt.
Why was I the asshole? What's your perspective?
Do you remember, Mom? Well, you always had the temper.
Not immediately.
You blew up quite a bit.
Oh, I did. School. No, I did. No.
It was a drawn out thing?
But it was a slow burn.
I could slow burn you quickly.
Well, there was that. But like, did I ever just randomly walk up to you and just attack
no.
you?
No.
No. It was always in retaliation for what you did
good
first.
Point. Duly noted.
Yeah. I was like, are you really going to try and say that I was the bully when we were kids? I mean, yeah, I was way bigger and stronger than you when we were little, so it was not a fair fight.
I was faster.
But not fast enough a lot of the time.
But I like, ran out of places to go.
Well, the...
you can only go up the stairs so far.
Well, and I think it was our...
there's a dead end.
Our friend Mark, he said something to Mom and Dad about how they would like egg you on to do it and yep. like give you money and stuff.
Didn't take much.
And then we'd get Joe to like pester Andy, and then Andy would bounce him off a wall. And that was their entertainment was
yep. Get Joe and Andy to fight.
To this day, if I am walking upstairs in front of him,
of course I wanted attention. So
in front of you, I cannot walk upstairs in front of you.
I know. Neither can my kids. That's the best part.
I have to run upstairs in front of him. Like, why do I and your kids have to run upstairs in front of you?
Because if they don't move, they're getting a goose. That's just the way it is.
And somehow you have
that
this,
is you know what?
Your
it's funny.
Goose technique.
I did not realize this until this very moment.
What?
That was exactly what I had done to you when we were kids. It was always that. And I oh my gosh, that's such an epiphany. Like my kids, I walk by them and they kind of.
I'm like half traumatized by it. Like,
I know. What am I doing to my children?
If I hear your voice and I'm going upstairs, it's like, shit, run! And there was something about your goose technique that was so aggravating.
Yes.
It was just
I was
this
so good at it.
It was just this little light pinch of the butt. It wasn't anything painful.
It was just a skin grab. It wasn't like
it wasn't even that. It was just like this goofy little irritating tickle.
Yes.
And all I wanted to do was like punch you in the face.
Oh, the amount of satisfaction I'd get from you just running and freaking out was just over the top. That's the purely only driven reason. That I did that was to just
well,
get
of
that,
course it was
get that little just to get that little chase up the stairs. Plus, you were so slow going upstairs. I gave you a little bit of oomph just to get up to the top.
Like I have finally, like as a parent, made myself stop randomly tickling my kids because I couldn't approach them without them like.
Mm-hmm.
Clenching up, and I didn't want him to do that anymore.
I
wanted to be able to like
it's
put
like
my
you're abusing your kids
in a weird way.
It kind of is.
I wanted to be able to just like put my hand on their shoulder, and not have them cringe that I was going to tickle them.
But they never do that around other people. Thank God. It's well, just when Dad's around, they gotta hustle up the steps, or or they gotta guard.
Oh man,
I've always been a little antagonistic.
I want to watch your kids walk up the stairs with you behind them now.
Oh, Sophie sprints. She goes flying up. If I'm downstairs and I'm coming behind her, she sprints right up the steps.
Like two steps at a time.
Yep. And Tom goes up sideways. Or backwards. Yeah, it's funny though when I think about it.
So if he falls down going up the stairs, he'll land
he's
on
pretty
his
nimble on his feet.
He'll land on his side.
Yeah, he does all right.
Or his back, I guess. Okay. Yeah. Oh, God.
Gosh, I'm torturing my kids and I don't even know it.
Oh, man.
Like, I love being a parent, though. Gosh, that's so fun. It's like we have kids brought to us for our entertainment and to raise
into they're for your human. Entertainment?
Our entertainment slash little slaves, kind of. I mean, everybody uses their kids to do things for them.
Well, I mean.
Grab me a beer. Hey, can you run out to, can you let Lulu out? Can you, you know, you let the dog out.
Who's Lulu? Oh, the dog.
Yeah.
Lulu, my oh, yeah.
Beautiful Sharpie.
Joe has a dog that is a bitch.
Literally.
And I mean that in the.
She's had a litter.
And, well, in the literal and also figurative sense.
Yep. She's a tough chick.
One time I went over, you had left the house and you and your son were at Great Life. And or not Great Life at Top Shot Golf, the fucking golf.
Great Shots.
Yeah, I don't. It's Top Golf everywhere else.
The place where you drive and eat food and drink.
The giant nets that got blown down in the storm last spring. So he asked me to go over and let the dog in because you left the dog outside and forgot and realized, oh no. And it was cool that night. And so I go over there, and anytime I am over at his house, Lulu just walks up and anybody who's a stranger is just like,
no, she just does two. It's just,
no, I've heard more than burr-roo.
The sound effects are great.
So I go over there and I walk in. And I can see the sliding glass door as soon as I'm in from the garage.
Oh, yeah, whatever. That's right. You came into the house.
Yeah, I had to come into the house and then open the sliding glass door in the back of the house. And I open the door. Lulu's just sitting there wagging her dog or wagging her tail, like waiting to get let in. And I open the door. She takes all the steps in, stops, looks up at me.
Goes ballistic. She doesn't generally like people.
No, she likes you and some of your kids,
she's
right?
Great. My kids can tug on her, beat her up, and do whatever, but she'll never do anything unless they try to pick her up. Then she tries to nip at them. But
you also have like
I'm the only one that can pick her
up. You also have like the most hilariously snarky son of anyone I know.
Witty as hell.
Here is a I get what you're saying now about kids being for your entertainment because this is like the most entertaining story ever. And it involves my daughter and his son. So my daughter, when she was in elementary and middle school, was in the, like, whatever they call it, the gifted program or challenge center and then the honors or whatever. And this is, she was still in elementary school, so it was challenge center. So she's like, they're like third or fourth grade, somewhere in there. And there's a family gathering at our house. And Crystal had made an Eggo waffle for Jackie to eat. And Jackie asked Crystal to cut up the waffle for her. And Joe's son, Tom, says, so you go to like a special school for smart kids, right? Yeah. And you need your mom to cut up your waffle for you?
Jeez.
And it's just like a 9-10-year-old kid.
I love that just, so much.
And it's just the most genius, snarky thing to say.
He is so full of that stuff.
And the best part is, she never asked mom to cut a thing up ever again. She cut her own damn waffle after that.
There's a slap of humility right there.
And
God, I love that. He's the funniest. He could seriously be a stand-up comedian.
But that's the funny thing, though. Like, I'm not saying this about him, but you know those people who are like, they're the most hilarious people you know, but they couldn't plan it, you know? But anytime you're around them, it's like, you're just dying laughing.
Yeah.
Like,
there's some people that just have a gift to make you laugh at anything they say.
I hope I can get my friend Cliff to be on a podcast because he is like that. Just like the single funniest person I've ever been around ever.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't remember Cliff. He was at the big wedding.
He was.
But right that was how many years
well,
ago?
He's the guy, the picture of me and the twin stuff. Behind that, the guy on the left.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I probably met him a few times, but haven't met him since your wedding. So.
Yeah. No, that was.
Bushmill's better.
I don't disagree. I know. I literally just got educated on whiskey tonight, so I'm not going to tell you it's not better.
Mild education.
I didn't say
no pro, but
notice
I'm
working on it. I didn't say it was better. I didn't say blackened was better. I said it had more flavor.
It's different.
It was different. It had flavor.
There's a whiskey out there for everybody.
If I tried this first, the Bushmill, the fancier stuff,
yep,
I would probably taste it differently. But like the blackened is stronger.
Yeah, it is.
Like a stronger flavor.
45% versus 40.
It's like the difference between deer and antelope.
You know, the crazy part about whiskeys is you can add a single drop of water and completely change the flavor profile. And that's why a lot of people like to do it on the rocks or...
You know, you can take an IPA and piss in it and not change the flavor at all.
Wow.
You can't...
That's
yeah.
high tech.
Yeah, man. It's really high tech.
That's...
You pretty much have the same beverage afterwards.
I take it you got a thing against IPA.
I hate it. I seriously do.
I hate the lore of it. Like it's like everybody just said, IPA.
Honestly, I was so impressed when Crystal and I went downtown. We went out just for an evening to celebrate when I became self-employed. And I did not see this annoying number of beards downtown.
Yeah.
You know, you actually saw clean shaven or just goateed or... Well, the mustache has come back, so...
Gotta love a guy that works a desk job with a beard.
Well, and I mean, there's
no
all,
offense to any of you that have.
Well, we're literally two guys sitting here with beards right now. Yeah. Like, this is my annual fall hunting beard.
It's like a lumberjack
getting
thing.
Going. But after like, I don't know, this is probably 3 weeks old.
Jeez, lucky you. It takes me
really.
A year to grow a beard.
You know, okay. The farther down my face you go, the faster the hair grows.
You know, Andy?
So when you get to my neck...
I can grow the best neck beard.
Really?
You could ever ask for.
Like...
Yep, neck, total neck beard. Complete
Like
Amish.
All the way around to your...
Oh, gosh. It would start it here. Would
no, but would it connect thick, around the side of your neck?
Solidly.
So
solidly. Like a unibrow. Except on your neck.
Okay, the guys who grow that, like have that and don't realize it, I don't know.
Self-awareness is a problem for some people.
Like, do they not have a mirror? Is that what's happening there?
Could be.
Like, or they just don't use it? Maybe it's really dirty. And,
or they just don't care.
Maybe. But like, there's a certain level of, like, I'm a slob.
There's some silverback gorilla types out there. That just, you know, let it go.
They're
chicks dig it, maybe. There's someone out there for everybody.
I don't know. I know. Although I did learn this. Like once a month I'll get a massage and the massage therapist I go to.
It's like shave your back, would you?
No. I am not even bad. No, here's how I just asked one time because like when my wife used to do massage and she used like a massage lotion. And then I just asked
her,
not
an oil?
Right. And I asked her, do you use oil? And she said, yeah, I will mix it with lotion if they're really hairy.
Oh, soften that shit up.
I guess.
Condition it.
It needs some conditioner.
Yep,
yeah. It
needs some conditioner.
It just sort of cracked me up. Like, really? The super slippery oil alone is not enough? Because, like when I get done with it, like, I'll have to, like, towel myself off. Like,
yeah,
it's slick.
I can't handle that. I've had a massage one time, and I never again.
Probably because you were tight and needed another one.
No, I don't know.
No, massages are fantastic. The
maybe.
My,
A lot of people do it.
Ugh, I need better mic stands. This is driving me crazy.
I just pulled it off.
Yeah. Well, it rubbed. Anyway,
That's what she said.
Yeah. Need lotion and oil. No, like the massages I get, like they're not pleasant. Like it's not a relaxing massage. I mean, on some level,
you're actually
it is.
Working the muscle to.
Like, yeah, it's like it's more of like a therapeutic sports massage.
Yeah.
So like it hurts sometimes. Like it hurts bad. Like
hurts big time.
Sometimes it really hurts. Like the other, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, like when she was working on my thigh, like the one was fine, and the other one, I about hit the ceiling. Really? Like when she started digging into it, it was just like, oh, what's going on? Like,
see, I have the sciatic problem on my right side, which I'm sure many, many people listening do. And I went to a chiropractor one time because I was seriously, I looked like I had scoliosis. I was walking very twisted and kinked. And I went to the chiropractor and he goes, you know, he's a really good chiropractor. He basically tells me how I can do it myself, which is,
you know. You mean he didn't ask you to come back for 50 visits and prepay?
He didn't do that.
Oh, it wasn't one of those?
No, it wasn't a monthly subscription or anything like that. He was just a good dude that wanted to help people. And should I plug him? I don't even know if he's doing it anymore, but.
No, he can pay me.
Yeah.
I don't have that many. I don't care. Go ahead.
Okay, Justin Reiners. I don't know if he's even still doing it. I've tried to get a hold of him before, but I had a hard time getting a hold of him. But he told me, you know, you could have avoided this trip if you just stretch your hamstrings.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, really?
No, I had a physical therapist tell me, like, pretty much the reason my back herniated. He's like I don't know for a fact. He's like, I don't know for a fact, but the biggest contributing factor is how tight your hamstring and hip flexors were on my right side.
Yeah, and that's a big killer for your sciatic. Uh-huh. You got to stretch. And every time that starts to creep in, I should be doing it regularly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but being me, I just, I'll be fine, you know.
That'll be fine.
Start stretching it. It comes right out after a day or two and
just
drink
stretch
a lot of water.
Your ass.
And,
get your ass stretch on.
Stretch your ass.
Stretch your ass. Okay. Well, I'm tired. Like,
oh, come on. It's only 9:30.
It's 9:45.
Oh, well, whatever.
And
don't get to sit down with my brother very often and chit chat.
But at the same time, like, I'm tired.
You freaking old man.
I know.
I'm a night owl, so.
I'm not.
I'm just getting warmed up.
I'm a morning person now.
Because being self-employed tomorrow, it's going to rain tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not going in till 10.
Yeah, I want to wake up. I want to be up by like 6:15 at the latest.
Jeez. I'll probably wake up at 6 a.m.
If it gets to be like 11 o'clock, I'm like, the day's over.
I didn't say I wasn't waking up. I'm just saying I don't have to do anything till 10.
So
hit the gym.
I like getting up early so much. I do too. It's ridiculous.
I love mornings.
I never liked it ever until I did it for a long, 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 long time. Sit and now it's just
quiet.
I'm usually the first one up. And so that first, especially and like always on the weekends, I was always like the first one up and I would be just, oh, this is great. It's so quiet.
Totally. I love mornings.
I have all the bandwidth on the Wi-Fi for my phone. That's what it's just wonderful.
Everything works so quickly.
Yeah.
Weird. Try having 4 Xboxes.
Oh, geez.
2 tablets, 3 phones in one house and having the fastest internet you can possibly get from Midco.
Yeah.
It still can't keep up.
Well, do they ever just, one of them just not use it?
Max is on his tablet while he's playing Xbox.
And he does.
It's insane. Like
when, like, I really only have one gamer. Really, I mean, Asaya plays games, but Rock, he's always like. But for him, it's entirely a social thing. Like, if his friends aren't on, he's not on.
No kidding.
No.
Oh, that's true.
Like he really only plays.
Yeah, he came home
when his friends are on.
Him and Asaya were playing outside.
Yeah. No, it's. Yeah. It's weird. They do that sometimes.
I know.
Kids that go outside.
I get it.
Do your kids go outside?
No. I try.
No, it's hard. I mean, during most of the summer, they spend most of the time.
The worst part is the neighborhood that I'm in is there's no other kids. There's no other, like, it's pretty new townhomes, so, like, nobody ever goes outside.
Yeah. So. Well, on that note, we got to wrap this up because I got to pee.
Pause it and
take
a whizzy.
No, I've this has gone on long enough. I'm going to start burping in the microphone, and I don't want to do that either. So anyway, Painter Joe's Painting, how do they get a hold of you?
605-310-8247.
Send him dick pics right now.
Yep.
And
scammers welcome.
And Sioux Falls Shooting, take a shooting class so that I don't have to have a real job. You're right. It was fun.
Was fun.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week.